Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Natstown. Matt Knightley, sponsored by the district sports page and federalbaseball.com, is on the air. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from the district sports page on the line. Dave, we'll start with Gio Gonzalez. Five-star win streak versus the Marlins going back to 2013 when he took the mound today. 1.13 ERA in those outings, 1.67 ERA, 1.90, 2.39, 2.49 line against, career versus the Marlins. Change was deadly early today. Got Stan, Ozuna, Morse, JT Realmuto's all K'd on it early in the game, but things fall apart with two out in the fourth, two on and two out. Ichiro Suzuki hits a grounder. Week one out towards second base. Danny Espinosa throws late to first base. But Giancarlo Stanton went far, way too far around third, gets caught in a rundown. Wilson Ramos tries to chase him back to the base himself, doesn't get him. Stanton safe, base is loaded. Adini Hechavarria comes up in the next at-bat. Base-clearing triple. 3-1 Marlins at that point. I don't know how many times we and Matt Williams have to say it, but you can't give major league teams extra outs. It was all but inevitable. Adini Hechavarria was going to hit that one after the mistake. Nationals down 3-1 at that point, end up losing 6-2, fifth straight loss, Dave, and it all pretty much happened right there.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how Strasburg just kind of lost his composure after they couldn't figure out that play there.
It was not Strasburg. It was Gio, Dave. It was Gio.
At least I got a chuckle out of you. Buck up, Buttercup. It's still April.
You can't keep saying it's still April. It's getting
but
late.
But it is still April. It's getting later. Yeah, it's getting late early. I realize all the flagellation going on social media today about how this team is terrible and the roster construction was horrible and they're not good enough and they've got holes all over the place and the head cases and the manager's terrible and the general manager didn't do a good enough job preparing his team for the games this year. I mean, this is the same team that won almost 100 games last year. It's the same team that that was everybody's preseason favorite to go to the World Series. Last year, they weren't above 500 until the end of May. You know, yes, it's troubling that they just got swept by the Marlins. It's troubling that they've lost five in a row. It's troubling that right now that they are, you know, 12th or 13th in offense in the National League. But the thing is that these guys, I'm going to take the larger picture here instead of dwelling on this game where Gio Gonzalez was not particularly sharp after that blown play. You know, this baseball's a long season, and if you thought at the beginning of the year that the Nats were going to be competitive, there's no reason to not think that they're going to remain competitive once they have their full complement of players, once everybody's healthy, once Anthony Rendon gets back. This is still a good baseball team. Jason Worth is not going to be Jason Worth for a while yet. He's still rebuilding strength in that shoulder. He had major shoulder surgery. The Nats really have downplayed the extent of his injury, but he had major shoulder surgery, and he's not going to be right for a while. Denard Span is still rounding himself into playing shape. Ryan Zimmerman is slumping, but he's not going to slump, you know, to a 200 batting average all season long. These guys have too long of a track record to be this futile for this long. So I'm choosing to take the long view here. If we get to Memorial Day and the Nats are still 8 games out, then sure, maybe it's time to panic. Maybe it's time to make a change for change's sake. But since the calendar still reads April, I don't think anybody really should be advocating making a change for change's sake at this point.
I just want to state for the record, you were talking about flagellation, F-L-A-G, and not flatulation from the Nationals fan base. Dan Heron on the mound for the Marlins. Started the game with a 0-9-7, 1-5-2, 1-4-1-5-4 line against right-handed hitters on the year so far this season. 3-3 record, 2.76 ERA, 1.87, 2.57, 2.87 line versus Washington in his career. Gave up a home run early. Bryce Harper hit a 2-2 splitter out in the second. Fifth home run for Harper. Sixth home run allowed by Heron, who's given up 8 earned runs so far this season, all on home runs to that point. Finally gave up a run on a non-home run later in the game, but the Nationals managed just 3 hits off of Heron on the day. He's out after 5 innings, and I have to clear some Twitter things out of here before I can get to the full box score. five innings, three hits, two runs, three walks, three Ks on the day. You kind of expect the Nationals to get a little more off of Herron, but he's a veteran right-hander who's put together a few decent starts for the Marlins so far this season after some trepidation about moving back to the East Coast this year.
Yeah, you know, Herron is still a semi-decent pitcher. I mean, he's certainly not an all-star anymore, but the Dan Herron that the Nationals saw for the first 2 months of the season that he was here really was the outlier in his career. You know, when a player has a career long enough, they're going to have periods where statistically they're just a complete anomaly from the rest of their career. And that is unfortunately what the Nats fans still remember of Dan Herron. They remember that two-month period where he was the worst pitcher in baseball, but that's simply an anomaly to the rest of his career. Even since his time after the Nationals, he's been pretty decent, and he's been pretty decent this year. Sure, it's disappointing that the Nats can only manage three hits off of him in five innings, but you know, that's what the Nats have been doing here recently, especially in this five-game losing streak. You know, Matt Latos came into the game with an ERA over 10, and he looked like Cy Young. Yesterday, I forget the gentleman's name, but again, the Nats made the Marlins starting pitcher look like Cy Young, and they did it again today. It's just the Nats are slumping, and they're making only average-looking pitchers look like all-stars right now, and it was the case again today. Harper's swing, just a beautiful thing on that home run, though. I mean, just dropped the barrel of the bat right on it, made real solid contact, didn't look like he even got all of it. But it really jumped off his bat and carried into the bullpen there.
Yeah, it wasn't just Dan Herron. It was Tom Kohler yesterday, just to fill that blank in on the name there. But it wasn't just Dan Herron today. The Nats managed just one hit off the Marlins bullpen in four innings. Matt Williams said after yesterday's loss that he was kind of looking for a response from the Nationals here in the series finale with the Marlins. They end up dropping a 6-2 decision, get swept, drop their fifth straight overall. Not much of a response from the Nationals here, and I don't know if you need Matt Williams tearing up the locker room or doing something to kind of inspire these guys, or whether it's just a matter of, like you said, getting everyone healthy and back out there. Anthony Rendon expected back this week. Jason Worth yesterday pointed to that, and Rendon's return possibly changing things up and finally getting everyone healthy and getting the lineup that they expected to have every day back on the field there. Are you looking to that as something that could kind of turn things around for the Nationals here?
Yeah, look, the Nationals are one of the oldest teams in baseball, I mean, average age-wise. So I think Matt Williams going into the locker room and doing a Billy Martin tirade really doesn't do a whole lot. I think actually that would probably get tuned out by this mostly veteran team. I mean, if you just look at the list of the batting averages once the game is over, Span at 240, he's going to be better than that. Jason Worth's hitting 171 so far since his return from injury. I've written it several times. I've said it several times on this show. You know, Jason Worth is not going to be Jason Worth until the All-Star break. He just being healthy is one thing. Being in baseball shape and returning the strength of the shoulder that he needs to be competitive at this level is a completely different thing. So it's going to take a while for Jason Worth to round into baseball shape. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting 205 currently. You know he's not going to be hitting 205 at the end of the season. Danny Espinosa, 167 thus far. When Anthony Rendon returns tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it is here in the next couple of days, you know, that's going to be replaced immediately. So a lot of the Nats' ills are going to be cured as a function of time. And this is the point that I'm trying to preach here on social media, on the website, is that these guys aren't this bad right now. I mean, it's a slump. It's a collective slump. It happens in baseball. It was exacerbated at the beginning of the season by missing three guys. Those guys are still rounding into shape, and it's going to take a little bit of time. Like I said a couple minutes ago, if we get to Memorial Day and the Nats are still 8 to 10 games out, you know, then start to worry. But at this point, it's not that concerning to me.
Trying to an old Davey-ism from his time in the nation's capital, you're never as bad as you look when you're losing like this, or never as good as you look when you're on a win streak. So things tend to even out over the course of 162. Nationals just have to hope that's the case. And not to add to the exasperation of ourselves and other Nationals fans out there, but post-game report, Matt Williams tells reporters, Max Scherzer will miss Tuesday's start in Atlanta, thinks he'll be fine for start after that. He's having trouble with the swollen thumb after he jammed it on a hit in the series finale against St. Louis this week. no word on who's going to be the starter. When you were looking at reports before the game, everyone was throwing out names, Taylor Hill, A.J. Cole, Taylor Jordan, all lined up to pitch around that time. Any ideas on who the Nationals should bring up for that, or thoughts on Scherzer missing out on a start at this point?
Well, you know, as we said the other day, you know, this is concerning. I mean, you know, when immediately after the game, they just said, it's a bruise. You know, he's fine. He's day-to-day. Misses the bullpen. Now he's going to miss the start. It's concerning, and you have to take the deeper look at the Nationals' history on injury reporting and be concerned. I mean, this is certainly – you know, the Nats, one of the Nats' most important players, and him missing a start here certainly gives room to pause. Hopefully, this is just simply a bone bruise on a jam with the pitcher batting, which obviously I've advocated against now for a while. You know, so let's see how it goes. Hopefully, it's just he just misses a one start and gets back at it following week. But you know, really, as far as calling somebody up to take his place. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, whether you want to call up Hill, Jordan, A.J. Cole, any one of those guys, it's really half dozen, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. I really think they're interchangeable. I don't think that they would activate Cole, you know, just for one start, but, you know, who knows at this point, really. And especially since it's against the Braves, a team that you don't figure to be particularly competitive as the season stretches on. You know, like I said, I think it's really a toss-up as to who they would call up to make the start.
Yep, no word as of now. I'm sure we'll get that in the next day or so when they have to make a decision. But to jump back into today's game, Nationals rallied to get within one in the top of the fifth inning, but Marlins come right back in the bottom of the fifth inning. D. Gordon singles, but gets thrown out at second by Wilson Ramos. Martin Prado singles for the second straight hit. Giancarlo Stanton follows with what should have been a home run in any non-ridiculous ballpark, but the rounded wall out in front of Red Groom's psychedelic home run sculpture costs him a blast there. He settles for an RBI triple, ends up scoring what would have been the second run on that blast on a sac fly in the next at bat. And Jim Myricks, as he corrected me yesterday after I mispronounced his name, talked before the series on our site about not letting Giancarlo Stanton beat you once again today. He was pretty much the difference in this game.
Yeah. You know, and Bill Ladson on Twitter today also said it. You know, why wouldn't the Nats just walk him? Exactly. Why wouldn't the Nats just walk him four times? I mean, at this point, they seriously have to consider it. This guy just kills the Nats every single time. You know, he's only hitting 275 overall, but it seems like he hits 500 against the Nats and homers in every single game. And it's not quite every single game, but, you know, let's give him all the props in the world. But let's talk about Marlins Park for a minute here. You know, this place is just an abomination. It's an insult to baseball with that sculpture to begin with, but that outfield wall there, the way that it scoops around from like 390 all the way out to 430 in that very tippy top corner. It's just, it's ridiculous that Major League Baseball would have allowed them to build a stadium in this configuration, in this manner. It's just, it's got to be one of the dumbest things in Major League Baseball. And it's going to rob Stanton, you know, of half a dozen homers every year. And it did today. I mean, that ball would have been a home run in every other park except for Yellowstone, except it hits at 425 feet and an 18-foot wall. It's just stupid.
I think ESPN Stats Info actually tweeted out during the game that every park but Comiskey, essentially, got cut in. Comiskey doesn't have the ridiculous wall out there, but they got a deep center field. So forget about this game. 6-2 loss. Nats dropped their fifth straight. Let's dig into a little rumors in the last 45 seconds here. In the last 2 days, two people out there, Jim Bowden, the former Nats GM, Ken Rosenthal, the bow-tied Fox Sports reporter, mentioned the Nationals as potential suitors for Jonathan Papelbon going forward since they're struggling with this bullpen. The idea there, I suppose, at least as Rosenthal stated it, is bring Papelbon in as a closer, take that money off the Phillies' payroll. Hopefully they wouldn't have to give up anything else in this fantasy scenario, but Drew Storen moved back to the setup role, which would anger a large portion of the Nationals fan base. There's also some rumors at the beginning of the year that if things didn't work out in the pen, Jason Stark from ESPN heard rumors that they might go after Aroldis Chapman with the Reds. The Nationals made a play for him when he was coming out of Cuba originally, but came in second to the Reds in that bidding for him at that point. Any of this talk serious in your mind, or the Nationals go with what they have in the bullpen and hope these young arms turn things around going forward?
Well, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but in those two scenarios, I'd rather see the Nets make the play for Papelbon. I think trading for Chapman, the Nets would have to give up real prospects. I think for Papelbon, for the Phillies, I think if they took all of the money away, maybe for a C-level prospect, they could probably wrench Papelbon away. But personal preference, I would rather see the Nets do neither. I know that right now they're kind of depending on some younger arms, some lesser experienced arms in the bullpen. You know, with the injuries and attrition that they've had, they're already kind of grasping at straws. But if the Nats are going to make a move to address their bullpen, I'd rather see it built on getting, on acquiring a lesser name, somebody that would require, less ink in the press, but more of a seventh or eighth inning type of guy, as opposed to trading for a closer and giving up assets for a closer.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on there, though. I lobbied for signing Chapman coming out of Cuba when he was available and wouldn't complain at all if we had to watch him in the ninth inning for the Nationals, but both of those scenarios, of course, just rumors out there. Nationals haven't made any sort of public statements or any desire about going out and getting a bullpen arm at this point. So all speculations, just keep us away from thinking about the way this game ended today. 6-2 final, 5 straight losses, 3 of them in Miami as they get swept on the road. Braves up next. After that, the Mets, who are apparently unbeatable. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. Dave, I'll talk to you tomorrow, maybe after a win.
Buck up, Buttercup.
Flagellation.